as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, new life, and welcome to the Growth Group Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I am joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussions each week. This week, we're continuing our series in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, a series based on a book written by Peter Scazzaro. We are in session four, week four of that series, and it's called Journey Through the Wall. Journey Through the Wall. So, maybe you can help us understand what the wall is, Jonathan, after I read this first question, and you can help elucidate what this kind of scary concept is of the wall. So, the first question is called The Dark Knight. This is not referring to Batman. It goes like this. In the 16th century, St. John of the Cross described the Christian life as a journey in which God takes those who wish for a deeper experience of him through a dark night of the soul, or a wall, which is a world-shaking trial or period of suffering in which all sense of God's presence is removed, our prayers seem to bounce back, spiritual dryness descends upon us. Can you identify walls you have faced or are possibly confronted by one right now and you've not seen it?
Yes, I think the concept, and we've seen the concept of this in the sermons up to now, in the process up until now, of to understand that the spiritual life, the walking with Jesus, is a journey. And I think that that's really important because we're into instant gratification. We want instant solutions to problems. We want instant correction. If something's wrong, we want it put right now. And our growth as a Christian, and when you think about it, our growth as a human being takes however many years we live. Having had the privilege of holding in my arms just last week two newborn babies and recognizing the journey that they are about to embark upon, and recognizing that right now those two precious little people are utterly and completely dependent upon their parents, and they are enormously loved by those parents and everybody around them. Right. That's an amazing picture of the beginning of a Christian life. That when we accept Jesus, we are accepting him because we have that little tiny beginning seed of understanding that we are amazingly loved and completely dependent upon him.
So,
and
you're referring to a diagram that Peter has
that Peter Scazzaro puts in page 99
of his book,
where he begins at, which actually comes from Janet and Robert, Janet Hagberger and Robert Gulick, in a book that they make a picture of this journey, and so they begin that we have the what I've just described, which is this life changing awareness of God, and then that we come through a discipleship process, which is learning, and then that discipleship leads us into a place of serving. Now, what often happens at that point is that there is a major event of some sort in our Christian lives. It can take all sorts of different forms, which causes us to question almost everything we've learned up to that point. And that's a really scary thing to think about. That's what they call the dark night of the soul.
So is this dark night often associated with some kind of physical, like real world trial, like cancer, the death of a loved one? Is it often associated with these?
It can be, but it's sometimes,
but primarily
it's sometimes intellectual. You know, sometimes we reach an intellectual crisis where we're asking serious questions about the existence of God, or something has caused us to call into question the things that we've been doing up to now. And It's at that point, it's such a temptation to run and run fast, or just to stay there and to say, okay, so I don't know where to go from here.
What I don't understand is, I mean, in this question, in the book, in addition to these, like, intellectual difficulties, there's a seemingly, like, spiritual absence where it seems like in this difficult moment, God takes a step back and allows us to struggle.
I think that's true. Because, well, all I can do, David, is to say that in a microcosm, say, with the, how it's affected me.
Yeah.
When I went through cancer, I had the driest spiritual year that I can remember in my life. I felt I didn't lose my faith. But I just felt like I was adrift spiritually. And I think that God does withdraw, stand back from us. But I think that in what we're looking at here, we begin to understand that that withdrawing has a really amazing purpose. Because I love the expression that Pete Scazzera uses when he says, God wants to rewire us.
Yeah.
And I think that it comes at the point that it does in our Christian lives when we have had enough to hang on to. If it came really, really early in our spiritual lives,
we turn the other direction.
We just say, okay, done, I'm done. Now, some people do that anyway, but I think that God times these things. And in my own experience, I know that, that this is true, that when you have enough to say, well, this seems absolutely horrendous, but I know enough about God to begin to trust him. You know, Psalm 139, you know, where can I go? Well, you know, I can't get out of this, but maybe I almost feel like I want to. And it would be lovely to paint a picture of this, which says, okay, and sometimes it doesn't last very long. You come out the other side and you feel fine, but that isn't always the case. But I tell you what, when you do come out the other, and we're going to get to that in these questions, when you come out the other side, you realize the profound nature of the purpose that God has taken you through.
Well, let's not jump the gun. I do want to get to that. First, let's connect it to the Bible here, and you've used the book of Ruth, and I identified a couple of walls in that book. Let me read the question that we're going to be tackling in our groups this week. It's called Walls in the Book of Ruth. Skim through the very short book of Ruth and summarize the story. What walls did the characters in this story encounter? How might the narrative have fallen apart if each character responded differently to their wall? What change, or how were they changed as God brought them through their wall? Is how we want to conclude that question.
Yeah.
So, why Ruth? Peter recommended using Genesis 22, Abraham sacrificing Isaac, but you targeted the book of Ruth. Tell me about that decision.
I targeted the book of Ruth for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I think it's important to see that it's not just men who face these challenges of faith.
Patriarchs.
The patriarchs face these things, but it's not just the patriarchs. There are men and women who are confronted by these things. And I think that I feel like in Ruth, there is a very dramatic picture of a woman who you can see so clearly faces, and it's not Ruth. It's actually her mother Naomi. Because if you look at Naomi's life, you see so clearly that the point at which she said, God has abandoned me. Then she comes back home and there's just Ruth is obviously a major, but in a sense, Ruth, we don't know when Ruth comes to faith in Christ, or comes to faith in God. We don't know exactly when, but we know that when it comes, when she, on the journey back, she says, my God will be your God, and
your people shall be my people.
We know that at that point she has accepted the God of Israel as her God. But we don't know how that process took place. And so, in a sense, where that particular part of Ruth's life fits on her spiritual journey,
right,
we don't actually know.
Yeah, Ruth is more of a static character in this book. It's Naomi that experiences redemption.
Yes. But, I mean, Ruth, and but Naomi, she feels like God has left her to such an extent that she says, Ruth, you don't want anything to do with me. And when she goes back to Bethlehem, she calls herself Mara, and you know, she believes that God has left her, and yet somehow she hasn't totally left God. She doesn't say, I want nothing more to do with him. Somehow, something she hangs on to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Ruth goes out and gleans, there's a glimmer of hope. And as you see, then you see God bring them both, bring Naomi particularly through the wall, as she sees that that God hasn't abandoned her. And I think that you see in her an expression of so many of the things that we're going to see in another question about the way in which... But that's why I chose Ruth.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to you preaching on that. Now, by the time you will have listened to this podcast, most likely you will have already heard Jonathan preach on it. But now you got some of the backstory. Let's move on to our third question. A wall's nature and purpose. What's the nature and purpose of a wall? God leads us both to and through walls in our life. Peter Cuzera writes that God's gift at the wall changes us forever. How so? How can a wall be both a positive, or how can it be a positive experience? And in what ways can a wall purge or free us?
Well, I think this is all about a micro... when you look at small incidents in our life, you see that as we experience trials, which are very different from... It's important to recognize the difference between a trial and a wall. But on the other hand, I think it's important to see that, in a sense, the trials that we go through give us a little hint as to what the wall, like. That as we face... When we face a trial and God brings us through it, he deepens our trust in him. And he deepens our trust in him. He deepens our confidence in him. Now, when you come to the wall, this is in a sense a trial on steroids. It's a deep trial that, therefore, the depth of change that it can bring about in us.
Right.
Is
in proportion to the depth of the trial. But the big difference in my mind, in a trial we don't necessarily sense that God's presence has been
removed from us. No.
But in a wall or this dark night of the soul, that is very much part and parcel of the trial, him stepping away.
Right.
So how is it specifically that God's stepping away can be used for good? I haven't made that, even having read the chapter pretty closely.
Well, I think I think ironically, it's about our feelings.
Yeah.
That in a sense, when we're at the wall, it feels as if God has abandoned us.
Right.
But we discover as we go through that he hasn't.
Okay.
We discover
It's his realizing his enduring faithfulness even when we don't see it?
Right. Even when we don't see it and we don't feel it.
Okay.
That his enduring faithfulness and, in a sense, the testimony of our experience of his enduring faithfulness is even more powerful than the experience of his enduring faithfulness in our trials. Mm.
So in that sense, it's kind of like Job, where Job didn't see God's presence at all. And initially, he held on, whether he, Blesses me or curses me, I will remain faithful.
And the fascinating thing about Job is that God never tells Job why it happened. He just reassures Job of who he is. Mm-hmm. He just says, were you there when I created this lot? Mm-hmm. Were you there when I did this? Are you surprised you don't understand it? And I always, that just captivates me, and it really illustrates what we see here, that Job comes to, and this is almost in, it's almost in.
Right. All these questions kind of overlap.
Yes. Yeah, read question four, David, and I'll tell you what I was about to say about Job.
All right. Put a pin in it. We're about to get some wisdom from over the pond on the book of Job. Question four, on the other side of the pond. Peter Scazzaro lists four characteristics of those who have been through the wall. They are marked by one, a greater sense of brokenness. Two, a greater appreciation for mystery. Three, a deeper ability to wait on God. And four, a greater detachment from the world. What do each of these characteristics mean, and which one from this list do you sense God might be developing in you right now?
Right. Now, you see, when Job comes out of the wall, he God simply says to him, were you there when I created it? Do you understand all this? And I think that gives Job a greater appreciation of his own brokenness. Because I think it's important to understand that the reality of the human condition is a reality of brokenness. Brokenness is not sin. Brokenness can lead to sin, but we are broken people who assume or don't assume things about God, and we need a deeper understanding of that. Then, he says, we have a greater appreciation of mystery. Now, again, I think it's important to realize that a greater appreciation of mystery is not answers to the mystery. It's a greater ability to accept the mysteriousness of God.
And live within the paradox.
Right.
What was the name of that paradox book that you speak so highly of? It's all right.
Paradoxology by Krishkandiya. Job is presented with a situation that he says, look, you didn't understand all this. You're not going to understand all this. But I'm God. And Job says, okay, I'm sorry. I accept the mystery. And I think that's where God, that's the profound rewiring that God needs to do in our lives, is that we are so wired to try and find explanations and demand logic, all of those things. But when we come through this place and God takes us to the other side, we are in a place where we begin to say, okay, I accept that I'm more broken than I thought I was compared to who you are, God.
Right.
And you are far more mysterious. And I hope that I'm going to demand the answer to the mysteries less than I did before. And then that leads us to a deeper ability to wait on God, because if we're prepared to accept his mystery, then we will wait for him. And then and that automatically brings us to a place where we are less demanding that God fulfills the world's conditions.
Mm. Wow, those are some powerful promises that come out on the other side of this really difficult experience. Well, we're going to call that a wrap. I hope this conversation has been helpful for you and your small group. Next week, we're going to continue this series in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality with Session 5. Do you remember the title
of
that session?
Yes, so we're going to look at the growing. I mean, it's a bit of a paradoxical statement, but we're going to look at growing through grief and loss.
All of these do seem to flow one to the next, don't they? Well, we hope to see you then. God bless. As I wait.